Zach. I'm the host, Joanne, and I'll be joined by a guest talking about something that makes them smile, even though I probably don't know much about it. I have two guidelines, no punching or pushing, so we're aiming to discuss these topics without insulting anything else or pressing political and social issues. We're just here to learn new things and share the things that bring us joy.
Let's get into it.
So this week I am here with Renee. What are we going to be talking about?
Today we're going to be talking about contemporary ambient music.
I'm excited. I like, you know, talking about different things, and I like how specific you were on the type of music that you wanted to talk about. So I think that this is going to be very cool, very interesting. I guess could you start by kind of explaining what contemporary ambient music is? Like, what even is that as a genre?
Well, ambient music is music that kind of, well, it's a bit difficult to define, but it's music that kind of goes past typical definitions of music, and it goes past conventions of music. So ambient music tends to not have a hook, a chorus, verse, most often it has no vocals at all. And ambient music is music that some people see as background music, and some people see as music that requires intense and deep listening. But for the most part, it's characterized by kind of an airy or dreamy or non-concrete quality. So usually you can't really hum ambient music, you can't sing ambient music, and it's a more dedicated or more disconnected listening experience. And wow.
No, and, I was just going to say, that's a beautiful definition or
thank
explanation.
You. Thank you. And contemporary just means the current scene. So ambient music, most people say that the earliest ambient music, it was a lot of like accidental experiments. And then the father of ambient music is Brian Eno. He started recording music in the 80s. Ambient music that came out more recently, so for instance, in the past 10, 15 years would be considered contemporary ambient music.
Very, very cool. In general, myself with music, I listen to a wide range, but I always tell people I like my music to have words, and the more I can understand those words, the more I tend to like the music. Mm-hmm. Because I like to sing along. I'm not a good singer, but I like to sing along. So, like, in general, I don't tend to lean towards, like, instrumentals or jazz. Or things that are all just music, but your explanation of it is just like so fluid and dreamy and relaxing that I'm like, all right, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. I also tend to kind of go for music that has a strong hook that can be, you know, that can be hummed to, that can be sang, that can be performed live or listened to live. But then I noticed recently a lot of that music that I listen to, like this sort of hard, noisy rock music that is very repetitive, very droney, easy to hum to, sort of has the same ideas of ambient music behind it. So there's this genre of rock music called shoegaze, and that has really close ties to ambient music because the idea of shoegaze is that you take sort of an accessible poppy melody or song structure, and then you just smother it in all these noise effects and all this distortion and reverberation to the point that it's kind of ruined beyond recognition. And that was kind of my connection to ambient music. So between my typical tastes of like really noisy rock music and the very relaxing genre, for the most part, of ambient music, there's that common thread.
Very cool. But shoegaze, you would say, is not relaxing.
It can be, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so for the most part, shoegaze is considered like a pretty brutal genre to listen to, noisy and inaccessible. But I think that a lot of shoegaze is actually really relaxing if you can get past the actual sonic quality of it. So I don't know, if there's like a 10-minute song of just like a droning, repeating chord and like yelling, then I think that it can actually become kind of hypnotic and relaxing, but not in the same way that a lot of ambient music can be relaxing.
The closest that I can relate to is when I used to study for college back in my youth, one of the songs that I would put on in the background was actually a character singing the digits of pi. And it was very monotone, and it was just numbers for, you know, it was like a 5 or a 6 minute song. But I like it because I like having music on in the background. But like I said, if it has lyrics, I tend to sing or think or focus on the lyrics. And this was something that was just a string of numbers in a somewhat melodic tone.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Like, part of it was just I was a nerd and I like flagging my nerd card, and nothing says that more than listening to a song about the word or the numbers to pi.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's probably a little bit of a layover where it's like, it's not necessarily relaxing in and of itself, but there's something about it that kind of beats into your brain and you can't focus on it, but it gives you something to hear at the same time.
Yeah, it's this sort of droning quality, whether it's a relaxing sound or not. Eventually, if you sort of hear something repeat itself enough, it can become background noise and your brain can become used to it. I think that that's really interesting. A lot of those noise rock bands that I mentioned earlier, in and outside of the genre of shoegaze, would make, you know, like 30-minute tracks of just like the most like head-pounding, horrible guitar feedback and stuff. And eventually your brain just kind of gets used to it and it becomes background noise. It's strange how things like that can happen.
Is it usually played with traditional instruments just in a non-traditional way? Or is it... you know, kind of a collection of different types of sounds and things like that.
So traditionally, shoegaze, which most people would say started in like 1988, is done on traditional rock instruments like guitar and bass and drums, and then sometimes some like classical or chamber style instruments like, I don't know, harp or flute. But for the most part, it's pretty much rock instrumentation with a bunch of effects. So yeah, I guess you could say it's traditional instruments played in a non-traditional way. And more contemporary shoegaze does kind of blend with the contemporary ambient scene because it's a lot more of the idea of shoegaze as kind of like, I guess, melodic noise that is being rendered with instruments that are not as traditional. So shoegaze has kind of left its rock roots and in a way sort of joined the ambient drone scene in recent years.
So if somebody wanted to listen to what we're talking about, if they like go on Spotify or iTunes and type in shoegaze or contemporary ambient music, would they get something that pops up under that genre, or would
YouTube shoegaze certainly if they looked up ambient, they would probably find some contemporary tracks within there. But something about the contemporary ambient scene is that unlike most musical scenes, it is very, very decentralized. There are very few music media outlets that really cover it. There are very few labels that are considered big enough to be you know, a very important label within the scene. A lot of the releases are self-released or they're really tiny labels that might double as printing presses or something like that. So to find contemporary ambient music, you kind of have to dig much deeper than you would have to dig to find shoegaze music.
Okay. Do you have any specific like bands or track names or anything that you would direct people to, like if they're curious, here's a good place to start, or here's a nice gateway or introduction to it?
Well, for the contemporary ambient scene, I would say I would go ahead and say she's my favorite, the best artist in the scene right now would be Grouper, real name Liz Harris. Grouper is her musical project that I think she started in 2006 or 2007. She uses a lot of folk instrumentation, and she uses her voice, and she layers them in really, really interesting ways that create some really strange soundscapes. So I would direct people towards Grouper, for sure. And then if they wanted to see where ambient and shoegaze intersect, then I would direct them towards Belong. I think in 2006, Belong released an album called October Language that is a lot of sort of unrelenting, very brutal, distorted sounds that it, over time, as I was talking about earlier, kind of become ambient or background noise. So I think those are two pretty significant artists and projects to look at.
Awesome. I've jotted down their names. I will have to check it out because I'm curious. You know, when you say ambient, my brain instantly goes to grocery store music, which, yeah. But it doesn't have to be like that classical jazzy sound. It sounds like with what you're talking about, there's, you can use different instruments and you can have that kind of ambient within alternative genres, basically.
Right. completely. And you mentioned about liking lyrics. Grouper does have lyrics in her pieces. Some of them are just instrumental, or the vocals are wordless. But a lot of her more popular songs are songs that have lyrics and like audible vocals in them.
What sort of, because it's not repetitive, and so much of lyrics is, you know, repetition, and some songs they just sing the same hook. Are her lyrics a little like more poetic, where it's just kind of a stream of consciousness? Like what sort of vocals do you actually usually get from her?
I would definitely characterize her lyrics as poetic. Let me think. I think my favorite line of hers is this is from her song Headache, which I think a lot of people consider to be her best song. The line is, "My mother once told me she walked into the ocean, didn't want to die, just couldn't tell where the horizon was." So those lines don't rhyme, but in the context of the song, her voice is so drenched in effects and reverb, and it kind of matches the energy of the guitar so much that the rhyming of the lyrics really doesn't matter. And the quality of the lyrics is really just kind of to conjure emotions and imagery. So in that way, the genre of ambient music kind of allows lyricists a lot more freedom in what they're singing, because they don't have to worry about people singing along, and they don't even have to worry about people being able to understand what they're singing.
Nice. This is really cool. This is just such like an unusual genre for me. You know, like I said, I have a wide net, but it's still a wide popular net. You know, I listen to pop, to country, to metal, to rock, to rap. Like I'll listen to pretty much any genre, but they're all still genres that you hear on the radio, not because I'm guessing there's no real radio stations focused on ambient music.
No, there are some online sort of radio shows and stuff that showcase it, and there are some blogs, but no, there's definitely no ambient stations.
So are you a part of any like you know, subreddit groups? Are there communities that are still like kind of focused around this, or is this something that you've kind of just discovered on your own?
There are such communities. What I talked about earlier about ambient being a very decentralized scene, it kind of stands in the way of there being a big ambient music fan creator community. But my favorite website for discovering obscure music is a website called Rate Your Music, rateyourmusic.com. The website looks, I think, like straight out of the 90s, and I don't think it's changed actually much since its inception. But it's what's great about this site is that it basically catalogs every release. And so all these really obscure releases, things that could have been just a run of like 30 cassette tapes or something from the 80s, or, you know, a run of 5 CDs handed out at live shows from like 2004. Even if there's just one person who's interested enough to put it on the database, they can upload it there, and then people can listen and rate and discuss it. And so on Rate Your Music, I've found a huge amount of these obscure ambient releases that have strangely dedicated fan bases of like, you know, 2 to 100 people that are interested in that release.
That's so cool. I love anytime communities are able to find each other. You know, it's sometimes hard to find somebody like in your neighborhood or in your school that likes the same music as you, but the ability to go online and just like search it, find it out, and find like-minded people and discuss with them is really cool.
Yeah, it is. It's a really cool community.
Perfect. I mean, that covers like a lot of my like base questions as far as learning about a new type of music. Is there anything specific that you were hoping to get to?
I was kind of thinking last night, and I thought that we could talk about the sort of unique opportunities presented by the format of ambient music.
Absolutely. What do you mean by that?
So the way ambient music is listened to and the way it's created is very, very different from the way most music is listened to and created. So for the most part, the way people listen to music, whether it be pop music, rock music, rap music, even jazz, the idea is that they want to be able to hum along to it, maybe. They want to maybe feel something when they hear it. They might, so for a genre like punk music, they might imagine that they're hearing it live. And then the creators of that music are making their music, they want it to be performable live, so they're not going to do anything on the track that they can't replicate live. They want to be famous, they want to be cool, they want to be known, and they want fans. But the way ambient music is listened to, a lot of those things go away, and it opens up the freedom for these artists to create music that is less focused on image and more focused on the experience of listening.
Interesting. Do you think, kind of in line with the not worrying as much about it being repeatable for performances and things like that, do you think a lot of these artists still do a lot of composition and planning, or do you think a lot of it is like freestyle? You get in the booth to record, you have certain things you know you're going to hit, but then you just kind of see where the mood takes you in the meantime.
Well, I would say, firstly, that most of the music recorded within the scene doesn't happen within a booth or in a professional recording space at all. That's another thing that is kind of great about the ambient format, is that a lot of the times these are just short-run cassette releases where sound quality is not very important. So they have a much more intimate feel to them, especially because they were usually recorded totally solo without anyone else around. But I think that ambient artists are probably a lot more experimental with the process of recording and creating music. I know that a lot of ambient artists go into a song and the creation and recording of a song with no real plan, but just a couple elements that they want to incorporate, and then they go from there. Whereas in other genres, you would start out with several demos, and then you would tweak the song again and again and again until you end up with a perfect product.
Very cool. I'm a big fan of improv. Like, I don't get to go to a lot of improv comedy shows, but I enjoy it when I see it. And I always find it interesting when it works its way into things other than comedy. You know, people hear improv, they usually think comedy right away, but improvisational music is a thing. Wrestling is basically improv violence, right? Like,
yeah.
It's so cool to me when a performer is talented enough and confident enough to take something and go into it not knowing exactly how it's going to turn out, but then still make something interesting, unique, and valuable. So I think that's really respectable and fascinating.
There's a whole subset, actually, of electroacoustic music, which is a difficult to define genre and scene of music that basically takes unconventional instruments and makes music out of it. The genre is called EAI, which stands for Electroacoustic Improvisation. And these artists just take all sorts of instruments, things that are real instruments and things that just make sounds, and they improvise to tape, and they don't do any alteration, and they don't do any mixing or mastering, and they put out what they created. And sometimes it can be really ugly and noisy. Sometimes it can be pretty and nice. But either way, there's this element of when you listen to it, you kind of imagine the process of creation, and that adds its own element to the art itself. So instead of just thinking about it like a polished product that's removed from its process of creation, you can think about it as a recording of an event as opposed to a product of a process.
Okay. I can get behind that. That actually makes me think of, I never remember what it's called, but there is what's considered a musical piece, and it's just titled the number of seconds that it is.
Yeah, 4 minutes and 33 seconds by John Cage.
Yes, which, if I'm remembering correctly, is just silence, right? For 4 minutes and 33 seconds.
Yep.
And they say that when it's performed live, the intent is that the music is the awkward shuffling noises, the random clearing of the throat, the, you know, somebody flicking the paper next to you, and it's just kind of like hearing the noises around you and appreciating those.
Yep.
So, similar. One thing has made it into mass enough media that I'm kind of familiar with the sensation, but it's cool to think of that with instruments too. You know, I'm going to play the instrument and see what happens, and this is the moment, right? It's not about the music, it's about the moment that it's happening in. Well, it's about both, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's all been very, very interesting. Are there any other like niche genres that you've found like because of this, or that helped lead you into this?
Let me think. So, so all these scenes and labels that put out these very underground ambient and drone releases are also pretty liberal about what kind of music they put out on those labels. So, for instance, there is Ain O'Dwyer is a musician who pretty much operates within this scene, but the music that she makes is very different from the people in the rest of this scene. So while other people are making ambient music with things like guitars or synths, she's actually doing like Christian liturgical music and field recordings within churches. And then there are a lot of other artists that are taking folk music and recontextualizing it in the context of ambient music. So the idea of ambient music can be stretched to mean any music that's listened to the way ambient music is listened to. So it's kind of abstract, but in that way, a lot of music can be kind of appreciated in a new and different way, thanks to, I guess, the phenomenon of ambient music listening.
I find that interesting, too, because you said early on that ambient music, like, some people can listen to it and think of it more as kind of like a background soothing sort of a thing, and other people, it's something that they listen to and study very intently.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say listen to in the way that ambient music is, it's more just kind of a intent over product at a certain point, I would assume.
Right.
Which is, I find very interesting. You know, it's kind of art in and of itself, right? If the artist says it's art, it's art. If music wants to be ambient, as long as it's that more meandering and no, like you said, no clear hooks or anything like that, it can reside in any genre, any noise level, any style, basically, from what I'm understanding.
Yeah, anything can be ambient music. There's a pretty I think well appreciated ambient release from the 2010s. It's called R&BW, and it's just short distorted clips of pop songs. So they just took pop music and they took little clips of it, and then they put it through so many layers of distortion that it sounded like something new. So the result is not relaxing, and it's not terribly original, at least in content, maybe in concept. But still, people listen to it like ambient music, and people treat it like ambient music. And there are just enough people that are into it and like it that there is kind of a small community of people online that are aware of it and care about it.
That's awesome. One of the things you said early on is that when it's written, it's not really written with the intent of being able to perform or repeat the song. You know, it's intended to be kind of a once and done thing. But are there ambient composers or musicians that perform live, or is this all within a pre-recorded setting for the most part?
Yes, so there are ambient musicians who perform live within the contemporary scene. A lot of them are people whose music exists at kind of the intersection between classical music and ambient music. Some of them are people whose music exists at the intersection of rock music and ambient music. So for instance, there's an artist named Lee Noble whose music is kind of structured like a song, but it is still ambient music, and he performs live using synths and guitars and drums. And then Grouper, that artist who I mentioned earlier, Liz Harris, she does perform live because she has quite a big fan base, even outside of people who are typically fans of ambient music. And there's a lot of stories about people at her shows falling asleep, because she actually performs usually sitting down cross-legged. The whole audience does the same, and people often fall asleep at her shows because she's able to recreate her sound because she's just singing with the guitar and with synths. But the music itself is so different in a live context from other live shows that people are able to completely relax to it.
That's actually really cool.
I guess the point of a lot of her music is to have a sense of like otherworldliness or unconsciousness. And I mean, there's nothing more unconscious than falling asleep. So I guess it makes sense for her.
It makes perfect sense. Are most of these, it feels like a lot of the people that you've brought up are solo performers. Is that accurate, or do...
So the vast majority of these people are solo performers, but sometimes significant artists can get together if they have sort of similar visions. So Grouper, who I keep mentioning because I guess because she's so great, she has collaborated with Jeffrey Cantu Ledesma, who is another great artist, and they have somewhat similar visions and sounds. And so they came together and made a collaborative project called Raum, that's R-A-U-M, and they made a pretty simple tape. I think it's four songs of, I guess, tracks that combine both of their sounds and visions as artists. But for the most part, since ambient music is kind of appealing to creators because they're liberated from all the constraints of collaborating with other people, having to work with audio engineers and recorders and musicians and instrumentalists. For the most part, it seems that ambient music is pretty much a solo endeavor for the people that make it.
That makes a lot of sense. If you're gonna create something that's kind of a free-spirited movement, see what hits you when you're trying to create it sort of a thing, it would be quite the challenge to do that within a group of people. But it's neat that there have been collab and that there are some people that choose to
do that way. Especially in there's kind of like a post-internet scene of ambient creators, as in people whose work is influenced by the internet and often includes commentary on the internet. People like James Ferraro, Daniel Lopatin, who's also known as, this is kind of a mouthful of a name, but he's also known as 10tricks.never. He's considered kind of a superstar of the ambient world, which is funny. People like Dean Blunt, they often collaborate with one another because I guess they have such singular visions that are really in line with one another's.
Well, thank you so much, Renee, for being on the show and teaching me about an entirely new genre of music. It's been a lot of fun, so I appreciate you coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you're a curious person that likes encouraging others, please consider subscribing to discover a new topic with me each week. If you have a topic you'd like to add to the stack, please email theturtlestack@gmail.com. You could also help grow the community by liking, rating, and telling others.
Thanks for listening.